I want God's way to be my way. I sight Jenny here below. For there is no other highway.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. Yes, I want to greet all of us in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, continuing to speak on this subject of fasting, I want to mention that all the senses that God has given human beings, they are all important. And they all help us how to effectively and how to rightly relate with our environment. And these senses are essential for survival. And that includes the sense of smell. Many times we think of the sense of smell as, well, something we just need for eating food. But it has a very crucial role it plays in our lives. How important is the sense of smell? Well, of course, it helps us to determine what we need to eat. But did you know that the sense of smell affects your socialization, how you relate with people in your environment? And number three, the sense of smell also provides warning for hazardous events. In case there is a fire which has broken out, it is the sense of smell which will enable you to do that. Now, let me read a few lines before we go in scripture. Let me read a few lines from what research work has shown about the sense of smell and how it affects us in different ways. Now, this article says, why is smell important? Your olfactory system. Now, olfactory system, this refers to the organs, the parts of your body that enables us to smell. Your olfactory system has many important functions. It helps people determine what to eat, influences taste, and affects socialization. Smell also provides a warning for hazardous events such as fire or gas leaks. Now, just how important is this? Now, let's talk about this aspect of socialization. How does smell affect your socialization? Now, listen to this. Your sense of smell is closely connected to the part of the brain involved in behavioral and emotional responses. That is why certain odors spark strong emotions, influence behavior, and trigger memories. Smell can also determine your attraction to other people. People with anosmia, now anosmia, this is the condition of losing the sense of smell, okay? Anosmia is the absence of the ability to smell. So people with anosmia may feel disconnected, indifferent, anxious, or depressed. Let me speak something about this. You know, I have two dogs, and I usually give them food, or maybe buy them these snacks which they love to eat. Now, when they smell that and they enjoy it, every time you bring it, they get so excited. They wag their tails. They've become attached to that meal. Now, imagine if that dog lost the sense of smell. Other dogs will be rushing to eat that food. The poor dog may continue sleeping because it has not smelled the delicacy which has come. Now, if that is a human being, you're going to notice, or you're going to be surprised, why is everyone acting excited? Why are they rejoicing? And you begin to notice an environment of worship, praise, hearing the word. It doesn't excite you. And you begin to fail to express yourself the way everyone else expresses themselves. And that brings a disconnect. You are no longer able to smell the presence of God or the joy of the Spirit. Now, you know what will result from that? It will no longer excite you to find yourself in a place where these people worship and express their joys and worship to the Lord. There is that disconnect. Now, here is another thing. The article says about how anosmia can affect you. It will affect your nutritional health. When your sense of smell alters your perception of food, it can greatly impact your food choices. Smell helps us determine whether a food is ripe or has gone bad. Without that aid, you are more likely to ingest food that may make you sick. A loss of smell also throws off your sense of taste. Now, this is profoundly important if we especially look at the spiritual application of it. When someone loses their sense of smell, and spiritually speaking, we're talking about discernment, the person won't be able to know or to distinguish good food from bad food. But you know what? Because of our sense of smell, physically, we are able to know that this food has gone bad because our nostrils are able to detect bad smell from good smell. We'll talk about that later. Now, a third way in which the loss of smell can be problematic or cause problems is in the area of physical safety. And the article says, a loss of smell can leave you vulnerable to dangerous events such as fires and gas leaks. Typically, an odor of smoke or toxic fumes is the first warning of danger. Now, here's something interesting, which this article states. A 2014 study found people with anosmia to be twice as likely to suffer from hazardous situations as people without smell loss. So research has actually shown that a number of people who find themselves in hazardous events and maybe they suffered injury, well, when you check their maybe medical history, it could be that their sense of smell wasn't working very well. Now, I was particularly interested in reading the section which talks about things that can cause anosmia, things that can take away the sense of smell. Now, there are causes which cause temporary loss. Like, you know, when you catch COVID, you may lose your sense of smell, but well, with time, you may recover. But there are causes which may result in permanent damage, permanent loss of smell. And you know, the things mentioned include age. Yes, age. So the article says the causes of permanent loss of smell may include age, especially after age 70. Now, I find that interesting and very applicable to our spiritual lives. You know, some 2-3 days ago, I was chatting with my wife, and I just realized that I turned 30 years old in serving the Lord. From the time I gave my life to Christ when I was young, I realized that, well, this year, I'm 30 years old in the Lord. And then in ministering, in the preaching ministry, well, it's been about 26 years. It's 26 years ago when my heart had a burning zeal and desire, to preach the word in form of evangelism. We would go on evangelism tours, proclaiming the word of God, praying for people, praying for deliverance, sometimes invited in places. And all this has been 26 years. And when I look back, I am so thankful to the Lord for the different experiences I've had, for knowing different men of God who've contributed immensely in my spiritual growth. However, each time I think about how long have I been serving the Lord, there is also a fear that I have in my heart, and it is a fear of losing sense of smell, because sense of smell can be lost through aging. Your body can no longer support that sense. Spiritually, we should by all means ensure we don't lose the sense of smell. You know, when you read about Eli in 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 2, let us go to the scriptures. When you look at Eli, the man who mentored Samuel, there is a sad incident we read about in 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 2 to 3. And it came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in his place and his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see. Now, you need to know one thing. Being a priest, you needed to ensure that the light which was in the temple or the tabernacle was never supposed to go out. It was your responsibility as a minister, as a priest, to ensure that the light does not go off. But notice what happened here. A terrible thing happened. And it came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in his place and his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep. I don't know how long Eli was always reporting for his service, for his duty. But as he was growing, the sense of sight was getting dimmer, and he was becoming sleepy. And on this fateful day, the lamp went off and he did not see it. It was terrible. And that is what can happen to any of us. As we serve the Lord, as we walk with Him, back in the years when you received this word of truth, maybe your spirit was so much rejoicing in the word of the Lord. You were delighting yourself in His presence. You had a childlike faith. But you know, as you continue serving the Lord, there is a great danger which can befall us of forgetting certain elementary things. We can become so obsessed with wanting to know the deeper things of Scripture or doctrines until we don't realize that we are losing our sense of smell, that sense which tells you about your spiritual condition, or about the kind of environment you are in, or about certain things you've gradually started tolerating, things you never used to tolerate when you had childlike faith. Now, here is something. We've talked about dangers of losing the sense of smell. Those dangers are very much applicable in our spirituality. The way the physical realm is, there is a close parallel to what happens in our spiritual lives. Now, let us read Proverbs 14, verse 8. This is a scripture that talks about discernment. Because when we're speaking about the sense of smell, we're really looking at having the ability to discern. Now, first, let me read Proverbs 14, verse 8. The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way, but the folly of fools is deceit. Let me read it in another version. The wisdom of the prudent is to discern his way, but the folly of fools is deceiving. In verse 15, the simple believes everything, but the prudent gives thought to his steps. Now, in verse 8, the word used is discern his way. In the King James, the word used is understand. Because, well, discernment really means understanding, being able to rightly understand a situation. And when we talk about discernment is really concerned about two things. Discernment enables you to assess these two things, or we can say the two parts of discernment. When you have discernment, it's really about two things. Number one, being able to discern yourself. And number two, discernment is concerned with rightly assessing a situation. Okay? Now, the first thing, discernment in terms of self-awareness. This simply means seeing yourself clearly, rightly assessing yourself, your inner condition. Are you able to see yourself clearly? Or is your judgment damaged in so much that you are not able to clearly see yourself clearly? You're not really able to see that you've become prayerless. You're not able to see that you've lost your sense of smell. Now, that is dangerous. When a person physically loses the sense of smell, they will be able to know that, hey, I think there's something wrong here. I'm not able to smell. Spiritually also, we need to be able to rightly assess ourselves. We should be able to be aware of what is taking place in our spiritual being. You should be able to see yourself clearly. You should be able to ask yourself, am I sick? Have I lost my appetite? Am I backslidden? Is my joy in the Lord going down? Are my actions and behavior, the words that I speak, do they exhibit faith? Or this is a different kind of me? I'm no longer the person I used to be. Do I have that discernment? When there's a problem which has stirred up among believers or sons of God in an assembly, you should be able to check yourself. This problem which is happening, am I playing a part in it? Am I the one causing a problem in the gathering of sons of God? Now, remember Job. Well, we read about when the sons of God gathered. And well, we many times want to look at that in a very spiritual sense of angels presenting themselves before God. Hey, there is another story in the book of Zechariah where Satan was standing before Joshua the high priest. But do you know that event of Satan standing before Joshua, it wasn't a heavenly event? It expressed itself in people. When you read the book of Nehemiah, when you read the book of Ezra, you will see how Satan was able to resist Israel. Why? As the book of Ezra reveals, Israel was putting on filthy garments spiritually. people married, these people God told them never take wives from, including priests were fallen. And when Ezra saw that, he called for a prayer and fasting. There you see that a child of God should be able to see, am I being a tool in the devil's hand? Like it happened in the times of Job, a very faithful man. He would always give, help the poor, very committed and passionate, I believe, towards spiritual things. Well, it doesn't take long when you have a character like that for certain people to always pass a comment. Oh, he thinks he's the only one who is committed. Well, simply because God gave him everything. Well, you know, we can't show up for fellowship because there's work to be done. Him, I think, he's doing good. He has a good income. Or if God was to touch him and he became like one of us, surely, I mean, he will curse God. I mean, he won't be as committed. Well, human beings are always fond of such kind of behaviors. But did any of those people come to a realization that the devil was talking through them? As a child of God, have discernment about yourself. Be able to discern what is going through my mind. Are these healthy thoughts? Are these healthy thought patterns? Why suddenly is my heart getting attracted to things of the world? Why suddenly am I having a desire to hang out more with people who have no spiritual interest in godly things, and I am beginning to not enjoy the company of people who are prayerful? Is my heart right? Am I despising the way of faith? When you lose that sense of smell, you are going downward the path of destruction. Now, that is one aspect of discernment. Now, in talking about self-awareness, I want us to think about Peter. Peter, a man who followed the Lord Jesus Christ, one of the disciples of Christ. And I want us to be aware that you can be a believer. You can have the best preacher as your pastor. You can hang around with other believers. But that does not make you immune from being used as a tool in the devil's hand if you are not careful. Look at Matthew 16, verse 21 to 24. We read an interesting incident here. Matthew 16, verse 21. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Peter was listening to all these things Jesus has been speaking. Peter saw a King of Kings in Jesus. Peter saw a brighter future by associating with Jesus. As a matter of fact, one time he had asked, Lord, we have left everything. We've left our wives. We've left our businesses. What profit are we going to experience in this thing? Well, he was yet to understand spiritual things. He had not yet received the Holy Spirit. And now hearing Jesus talking about how he must die, how he must be abused and all these things. Of course, Peter loved Jesus. He appreciated his master and Lord. And thinking about all these terrible things Jesus is speaking about, how he will be abused and all that, that didn't go well with whatever Peter was thinking about in that moment. And this is what he spoke to Jesus in verse 22. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him. Imagine rebuking Jesus. Saying, be it far from thee, Lord. This shall not be unto thee. Now, when you hear what Peter was speaking, these seem to be words that show care for the Lord. That show respect for the Lord. I mean, these things can't happen to you. Maybe Peter was convinced what he was speaking was right. What he was speaking was out of love, out of concern for the Lord, that these terrible things can happen to him. But yet, he wasn't fully aware that at that moment, his thoughts, the words he spoke, were a tool in the devil's hands to try to influence the thoughts of the Lord in a certain way. Because, you know, we live in a time where taking up the cross seems not to be a portion for a believer. People have been so caught up in worldly motivations of saying, suffering is not my portion. It shall always be well with me. Nothing bad will happen. I'll just be prospering. Only good things are appointed for me. Oh, the devil is so subtle. Thankfully, the Lord Jesus had a very active sense of smell. You couldn't fool him with your praise. You couldn't fool him with good words. The Lord Jesus was able to smell these words. They're not coming from the Holy Spirit. These words are not really caring about my well-being, my spiritual well-being. And the Lord answered in verse 24, then said Jesus, in verse 23, but he, the Lord Jesus, turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Oh, everyone else whose sense of smell wasn't working, they didn't smell any devil. They only smelled the presence of Peter, a man who was caring about the welfare of the Lord Jesus. But Jesus had the sense of smell. He knew the devil was talking. He knew the devil was around. And he says, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me. For thou severest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. I've always said, even when the devil shows care, there's wickedness in that care. It is to thwart you away from the plan of God. So let us have discernment, my brothers and sisters. And look at what the Lord said. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Because in that moment, the devil was trying to paint a picture that Jesus, you are a man of God, these things can't happen, God will protect you, giving a false interpretation of what God's protection is all about. God's protection is not about comfort. God's protection is about developing a nature, his nature in us. Yeah. One may think when all things collapsed around Job as though God did not protect him. Yet the eyes of the Lord were 100% on Job. But you know what? At the end of the whole terrible ordeal, Job discovered there was something in his character that he wasn't even aware of previously. He was able to repent and say, oh, I was foolish. I spoke words without understanding. Job would never have had come to that awareness had he not gone through what he went through. Hey, don't think you know yourself. There are certain aspects of who you are not even aware about. There are certain things which are deeply hidden in your heart, which you don't even know, but God knows how to bring them out and lead you to perfection. Now, the other aspect of discernment is discerning your situation. And in this regard, discernment means seeing events and situations clearly, as they are, without distortion. Yeah. Now, you know that we judge our situations, our environments, what we see around us, what we experience. Usually, well, all the time, we judge it by a sieve which has been constructed, which has built up in our minds through our life experiences, through how people have treated us in the past. And all these experiences in life, they create a sieve in our minds, which enables us to judge situations in a certain way. But did you know, when you come to the Lord, we don't just judge things by our experiences. We judge things by the Holy Spirit that indwells us. So we don't walk by sight. We don't walk by feelings. We walk by what is the Lord speaking. And believe me, you, our sense of judgment can be so wrong. Don't trust your mind. Lean not to your own understanding, but in everything trust the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You see, if our sieve, if our discernment is impaired, we will judge our situations wrongly. We will misapply solutions to situations. We think, oh, okay, last time when this happened, we dealt with it like this, like that. But yesterday's solution could not be the solution for the present situation you are in. You need discernment. You need to smell. Without discernment, without having a correct sieve in our minds, we're going to have Moses trying to build Noah's ark when he's supposed to cross the Red Sea. He'll look back and say, oh, Noah did this and that. I think, let us build Noah's ark. Why? You're not able to see a situation clearly and to see what is the Lord speaking. Do you know if your sense of smell is working, you will be able to hear the voice of God, not because he has spoken audibly, but a circumstance, a situation is going to manifest and you will exactly know what you need to do. Why? You are able to sense, you're able to discern what is the Lord speaking. You know, it once happened to Peter. Jesus performed a miracle. There was a great mighty catch of fish, and this was Peter's boat. And Peter was an unbeliever. And the previous night he had worked, toiled all night. He didn't catch anything. But here Jesus tells him, launch out your net and you catch fish. And he was able to follow that instruction. And he caught a lot of fish, in so much that the net was breaking. Now, if Peter was a modern day Pentecostal believer, what would he have smelled out of this situation? Most likely he would say, well, the Lord cares for my business. Let me open a couple of more shops because this mighty catch now clears all the debt that I've had. God has vindicated my business. Won't we say that is the omen at play here? But no. When that miracle happened, because it was directed at Peter, his spirit was able to discern that I am an evil man and this is a holy man. Instead of getting excited at the blessing, his heart was broken. He said, Lord, depart from me. I'm a sinful man. There was that spiritual awareness which arose in him. And instead of expanding his business, the Bible says he left those nets, he left those fishes, and followed Jesus Christ. How we need discernment. Discernment will enable us to rightly judge a situation. Discernment will enable us, whatever situation props up before us, we just won't rush to the spoken word book and say, what did Brother Branham say about this? Or what does the conduct order and the doctrine of the church say here? You will be a spiritual man who desires to seek the mind of God about any situation. As I conclude, I want us to be aware of one thing. When we talk about fasting, many times we think of it as in refraining from doing something. And surely it is. When I'm fasting, I avoid eating food, right? But do you realize that fasting has two faces to it? It's like a coin with two faces. On one side, you are depriving your body from eating something. But spiritually, the opposite effect takes place. Your spirit is feeding, actually. In Matthew 4, verse 4, Jesus is talking about man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word which God speaks. So physically, Jesus was depriving his body of food, but yet spiritually, his soul was feasting. It was eating. So don't just think of fasting in terms of refraining from doing something. Physically, yes. Spiritually, it's the opposite which is happening. Your spirit is feeding. Now, I was reading about how doctors are able to restore their sense of smell. They're actually able to do that. Now, this article says, if you've lost your sense of smell temporarily, things may smell different when the sense returns. Certain odors may register as unpleasant or altered from how you previously perceived them. The good news is that there are treatment options to help you regain your full sense of smell. Now, here are some things they've listed here. They talk about smell training. Physicians are able to train you in smelling again so that you regain your smell. And here they are saying, which helps people relearn certain odors by sniffing them regularly in a controlled environment. Here is a word to those who've lived very long in the word, in the message. Let's never forget the fundamentals. And I know there are many other people who are more elderly in this faith than I am, some who've been in this message way before I was born. Well, whichever environment you are in, I don't know how long the elders in your assembly have been, or those who've been in the Word of God for many years. But whatever is many years to you, whether it's 10 years, whether it's 20 years, whether it's 30 years, and hey, some people have been serving the Lord for 40 years. Whichever time span applies to you, it is always essential to never lose sight of the fundamentals. Consistent prayer life, spiritual discipline of waiting upon the Lord, testifying the Word of God to someone. That's a spiritual exercise. Praying and fasting to have your special time with the Lord, reading the Word of God. Never reach a point where you feel you are too experienced to do certain things. Let us always approach God with a childlike faith, because yesterday's testimony will never sustain you today. Every day, I don't care how long you've been a believer, every day approach God as a child. Approach him with the same fear and reverence you had the time you came to start serving him. The time you think, well, I am very mature, you know, I'm the great person, that is your first step in backsliding, your first step in falling. Praise the Lord. How can we train? How can we restore our sense of smell through training? Spend time in prayer. Spend time with Holy Ghost-filled people. Always check around which people always hang around you. Who are your friends? Even in an assembly. Yes, everyone should be your friend. But there should be elements of people who help you out in your spiritual life, in your prayer life. People you go to when you feel low. What are your social circles? You need to know that you are an average of five people you always hang around with. If the people you hang around with, usually they are too busy to pray, too busy to talk about spiritual things, you are an average of that. Deliberately look around for people you feel they are ahead of you spiritually, or they may not be ahead of you, but you really feel they live spiritually disciplined lives. Those are people to hang around with. You know what? If those people have certain interests, you know what? You're going to have similar interests. You know, it interested me one time when Brother John Mark, I had invited him to come over, and we had very wonderful moments with him. And later on, I realized the books he loves reading are the books I had in my library, like Watchman Nee, and the things he preached about, the things we chatted about, well, you get to realize that association plays a very big role in your life. If you always associate with people who talk about, did you hear what that one did? Who always gossip and they take pleasure in that, listen to me, sooner or later, you will start gossiping and you won't feel anything bad about it. Why? You are an average of five people you always hang around with. If you hang around with people who always talk about prayer, fasting, seeking the Lord, evangelism, you're going to tap into those virtues. Profoundly important. If you hang around people who are spiritually dead, they can't sense, they can't smell, what time are we living in? Is there danger approaching? Wrong things will be happening in your assembly and you will be dead. Your sense of smell will be so dead. You can't notice that there are wrong things which are beginning to happen. But when you have a sense of smell, when you notice, I think our prayer is going down, it won't be something to gossip about. You withdraw yourself to prayer. You're going to talk to another brother. Would you join me? I'm having a burden. Can we pray about this thing? You tell a gathering, I'm feeling led. We need to pray over this. Why? You are part of that family. You are able to smell. When a wrong group or company begins to take you away from the life of the word or that which sustains an assembly, you will be able to know to say, hey, is this behavior we are doing, is it beneficial for the assembly? I don't think this is right. Brothers, if we've seen a problem in the congregation, we need to pray over it. We shouldn't be happy of that and promote a wrong attitude and a wrong spirit. Why? Your sense of smell is active. If you've noticed, there's a wrong dressing style which is beginning to happen, you'll be able to detect that. You'll take it as a burden in prayer. You'll seek the Lord to heal his church in that aspect. Praise the Lord. One interesting thing I read about how the sense of smell can be restored is about electrical stimulation. Treatments including electrical stimulation and olfactory implants may one day be used to trigger the brain's response to smell. Okay? This is something I believe which is still under research, but well, the good news is spiritually it's already there. Electrical stimulation is still there. And we are talking about the stimulation of the Holy Spirit. I think that's the most important thing that we need in our lives if we are to have a sense of discernment. We need the discerner, the Holy Spirit, to live in our lives. That can only happen when we walk with him. He'll keep filling us. Now, you can say, I already have the Holy Ghost baptism. Hey, it's one thing to have the Holy Ghost baptism, but do you realize that when you read the scriptures, even after they were filled with the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, another time again, they prayed to God to give them boldness, and the Bible says they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Having the Holy Spirit baptism is one thing. Having a continuous infilling is another. We always need that infilling, that anointing, to always come upon us. It will give us the grace, and the Holy Spirit will always be there to enable us to sense, to discern situations when there's need. May the Lord richly bless you. I hope this has been a blessing to you. Amen.